Some semblance of normalcy returns to Shanghai as lockdown restrictions there ease. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. 9 weeks of lockdown have taken their toll on the 25 million residents of China's most populous city. But today, basic transport service is resuming, shops and restaurants are reopening, and people are feeling emotional.
I feel at peace after leaving home this morning, yet I also feel a sense of shame since many things have never happened in the past 2 months. Things like losing jobs and family members because of the pandemic have been forgotten in this split second.
Today's the first day I'm returning to work. I felt extremely happy. We were locked in our homes for 2 whole months.
Well, restrictions are easing, but don't call it a full rollback just yet. Museums and gyms are still closed. Most children still can't go to school. Face masks are still required in public places, and the government is continuing to monitor where people go and the state of their health. Robin Brandt told me more from the BBC's Shanghai office, a place he hasn't been in months.
What's quite surreal is this big bang of an easing of the restrictions. So suddenly private cars back on the roads. I got a taxi into the office. You can get public transport, buses, metro. There's basic provision there. You can go into some shops. So it looks and feels something like normal. There are still about 500,000 people who are confined to their homes because they're classified as living in sealed off areas. Most of the kids aren't back in the classrooms for face-to-face schooling. Restaurants can't do dine-in food. Limitations as well. It's certainly challenging to leave this city. It's easy to get around now, but it's difficult to leave.
And as you say, this has affected everyone, and it's been harsh at times. I mean, you point out, you know, you've just gotten to the office for the first time in months. What is the mood like across the city today?
Well, we could talk in great detail about how difficult this has been for millions and millions of people here. Businesses have been eviscerated. We spoke to a hairdresser earlier today who was returning to his salon. He's having to move now because the business has basically fallen apart. And he said it was like, you know, his baby had died. He was very, very tearful. But also, if you are this city's political leaders and you are Xi Jinping at the very top, you think what was done here was necessary and you see a vindication. COVID cases are down to a bare trickle. The death toll was in the hundreds. You see it as harsh at times, but necessary.
And that has been the goal from the government the whole time, is to get cases to zero. But obviously there has been a huge economic impact. Is the removal of these restrictions aimed really at getting the economy back to some semblance of normal?
This is partly about politics. It's about China doing it its way going forward. I think the speed at which these restrictions are being lifted is very similar to the speed at which they were imposed. You know, it's a big bang. And I think that tells you how desperate many people are here to resume, get the economy going again. I think that tells you how bad the effect on the economy has been. I was speaking to one businessman who works in hospitality yesterday, and he said the pendulum's kind of swung the other way. It's bizarre. The message from local government officials now for them is get going, going, going. Let's get this back up and running as soon as possible.
The BBC's Robin Brandt for us in Shanghai. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, despite eased restrictions in Shanghai, as we check the numbers now, stock markets across Asia were mixed with focus on weak economic data so far this week. The Shanghai Composite ended flat today, with the Hang Seng shedding 0.5% and the Nikkei gaining 0.6%. Here in Europe, benchmarks are little changed, with focus here remaining on how policymakers are dealing with raging global inflation. In Russia, manufacturing activity expanded in May for the first time since January. Figures from S&P Global today show some price pressures have eased, with companies hoping for some stability from higher domestic demand in the coming months. But President Putin's war in Ukraine has led to sharp declines in Russian exports after companies were cut off from global supply chains. And British officials now say Western sanctions have had a powerful impact on the broader Russian economy, as the BBC's Paul Adams reports.
Russia's defense industry, they say, is struggling to produce vital supplies. Moscow was recently forced to send 50-year-old T-62 tanks to go and fight Ukraine. Russia's problems with imports are causing wider economic damage too. Sales of domestically produced cars have plummeted, companies having a hard time keeping production lines going. Nor, it seems, have Russia's allies, India and China in particular, come to the rescue. Both countries are exporting much less to Russia than they were a year ago. The effect of sanctions isn't always quick or easy to see, but an official told the BBC that Russia's economy was experiencing long-term deep structural damage, the effects of which would be felt for years to come.
That's Paul Adams reporting there. To Germany now, where the chief executive of one of the nation's leading asset management firms, DWS, which is majority owned by Deutsche Bank, has resigned. It comes just hours after police raided the company's offices in an investigation around so-called greenwashing. The BBC's Will Bain has that story.
Regulators in the US and Europe have been on DWS's case since a former exec lodged a claim in the United States that the firm had made misleading statements in its 2020 annual report over how much money it invested using environmental, social and governance criteria, better known as ESG. That came to a head Tuesday as officers swooped on the twin offices of DWS and Deutsche Bank in Frankfurt and led to today's news that the boss of DWS, Asoka Wöhrmann, was stepping aside. The news, though, is not just a blow to the bank's credibility, but another to the already bruised reputation of ESG, with concerns companies are using it as little else than a good bit of marketing. In London, I'm the BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
Finally, a bit of a programming note. Be sure to join us tomorrow for special coverage live outside Buckingham Palace here in London. Queen Elizabeth is celebrating an historic 70 years on the throne, and we will be there for all the pomp and a look at how the economy can benefit from a long four-day weekend here. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.